For those of you who I haven't met, my name is Carrie, and we'll be exploring the parami of resolve tonight, or commitment, determination. So I'll offer a little bit of guidance during the sitting. There'll be plenty of time for silence and your own self-directed practice, but we'll sit for 40 minutes. We'll have a break and some time to tend to the body. I'll offer a few reflections afterwards, and we'll have a chance to discuss together. So this is a poem many of you may be familiar with, but I think it speaks to this quality of resolve. Is called The Journey, Mary Oliver. One day you finally knew what you had to do and began. The voices around you kept shouting their bad advice, though the whole house began to tremble, and you felt the old tug at your ankles. "Mend my life," each voice cried. But you didn't stop. You knew what you had to do, though the wind pried with its stiff fingers at the very foundations, though their melancholy was terrible. It was already late enough and a wild night, and the road full of fallen branches and stones. But little by little, as you left their voices behind, the stars began to burn through the sheets of clouds, and there was a new voice, which you slowly recognized as your own, that kept you company as you strode deeper and deeper into the world, determined to do the only thing you could do, determined to save the only life you could save. All right, so I haven't been here in a couple months on a Monday, but we are on the eighth parami. Okay, so we're in the middle of this exploration of the paramis, which are qualities of heart that are said to be wonderful capacities, potentials, strengths that we all have. There are 10 of them. They're said to be some of our most beautiful capacities of mind. It's easy for them to get clouded over, get kind of forgotten. But once we recognize them, value them, they can really come to the fore and help us. So sometimes they're talked about as requisites for awakening, as kind of scaffolding or supports for awakening. And as I was going back through some of my notes on resolve from years ago, and it was one of my favorite topics because it was one like energy and effort that I felt kind of inept at. Right. So when we go through the list, there are some that seem really natural to our being, kind of capacities that we might already be familiar with, and others that seem a bit foreign or far away. So resolve was one of those. Anyway, so I enjoyed exploring it as a quality and giving talks on it, because my relationship with it has changed a lot over the course of my practice. So anyway, as I was looking back through my notes, this was probably 8 years ago or so, I was giving a talk on resolve, and I had shared a story about my son at the time, who was, you know, probably 3, 4, something in that range. And one night we were talking about kind of qualities and capacities of heart, and I was explaining in some way how underneath the worries and the frustrations and the anxieties, There's this radiant heart that has this great capacity, and it's like a treasure that we can experience and feel when these things are strengthened and brought forth. It's like a treasure. And so we were doing a little bit of metta practice, loving kindness practice, and he said, and I had completely forgotten this until I was looking over these notes, and I was saying it's easy to forget about it, but it's right there. And he made some comment after we had stopped practicing together. He said, "I can feel the treasure. I can feel the treasure. I think it's green. I think it's green. I can feel it." So it's wonderful that innocence, because in a way, when we're getting to know these qualities and capacities, it can be an adventure like that, right? It can be that innocent. It's not a list of qualities, standards that we're supposed to meet and we're falling short, or areas to judge ourselves. It's when we glimpse the potential and power of these qualities, we can have that kind of enthusiasm and delight. Yeah, this is a treasure. These are such supports and strengths on this path, on the journey to awakening. So to kind of remember that spirit, if we can, of kind of recognizing our true kind of inheritance or treasure. So this eighth quality is translated a few different ways. So it's adhitana, which means a kind of strongest or best foundation. So it really has this quality of firmness about it, of strength. But it's firmness based on a strong commitment to what we deeply value. It's not kind of strength or power for its own sake. It's not power over. A firmness that comes out of a deep commitment to what we value. So it's also translated as commitment, as decisiveness, which I quite like. And we may know plenty of people who are very decisive, maybe we're very decisive, who we kind of wish weren't so decisive. We wish they had a little bit more hesitancy and thoughtfulness. But this is the capacity that when we know something is of value, to say kind of energetically and with our action, let's do this. Yeah, we're doing this. And by saying that, you can kind of, maybe you can feel it channels, mobilizes our energy. It gives us a direction, and it is a huge strength. So we need little bits of resolve if we're going to do any part of this practice. You know, if you're going to set foot in here, we need some commitment. If we endeavor to understand or explore any of these qualities, we need some level of commitment. We need to see that it's valuable and commit to it. But it is not a grasping kind of commitment. It is not a, talk a little bit more about this as we go, but it's not a stubborn fixity. It's not a my way or the highway kind of declaration, right? We sort of know how this plays out when we do that. But it is a clear commitment to what we value. So sometimes I like to think of this as a way of practicing our insights. Yeah. So often we'll have moments of clarity, moments of inspiration, where we can touch into perhaps a deeper level or a deeper nature of things, or we can feel into what's deeply important. We get flashes of that. But without the firmness of commitment, of returning, of dedication, inspiration, moments of inspiration evaporate, right? They come and go. But this firmness really helps support our endeavor as we continue. So this is from Stephen Batchelor. Dharma practice is founded on resolve. This is not an emotional conversion, a devastating realization of the error of our ways, a desperate urge to be good, but an ongoing, heartfelt reflection on priorities, values, and purpose. We need to keep taking stock of our life in an unsentimental, uncompromising way. So we might be able to feel that this is really interwoven with energy and effort. So it has a lot to do with the way energy arises and how we direct it. It has a lot to do with patience, our ability to bear with challenges and difficulties. It's very reliant on discernment. So again, we need the ability to discern, is this a helpful kind of resolve, or is this just kind of a dogged determination, like a determination to keep going no matter what, even in the face of very reliable feedback that tells us that some flexibility or even holding back might be more helpful. So a lot of the parami come together to support and strengthen resolve, but it also comes as the eighth of these qualities and factors. And I think it comes so late in the list, even though it's there throughout, but it comes so late in the list, I think in part because it takes a while, it has for me, to really be able to feel what you're deeply committed to. Yeah. Apart from everybody else's good ideas and intentions, maybe what the world is telling you should be important, it takes a while to discern what you're deeply committed to. So truthfulness is the quality that comes right before it. To be more honest with ourselves about what's driving us, what's really important, what we deeply know. So it takes a while, that kind of discernment. Also, as the eighth, I think as we've been practicing for a while, we can start to sense perhaps a bit more of the flavor of where the practice points. So we can begin to taste, sometimes more than taste, the direction or the deepest aspiration and promise of practice. We can begin to taste some bits of this promise of awakening or transformation, freedom. And this brings a lot of strength to our commitment, to our endeavor, right? To be able to really sense that. So as I often do when I'm giving talks about effort, sometimes about confidence, I like to bring up the image of labor or giving birth, right? Because if you consider it for a moment, those who've been through it, those who've been with others who've been through it, those who've just know about it, It's a wonderful metaphor for a process that we willingly, as long as we still have reproductive choice, we willingly engage in, that is a natural process, but one that involves a lot of discomfort, and but that we sense is purposeful. We know that it's purposeful. We're not directing it. We're not in charge of it, but we can come to it with a lot of intentionality, and we can participate in it fully. So it's a wonderful metaphor for engaging our practice, because it reminds us that when we're fully committed in it, there is tremendous effort involved, there's intentionality involved, but we are not driving the ship, right? So there's a wonderful quote, again, many of you will have heard this, but it speaks to this so directly. Until one is committed, there is hesitancy, the chance to draw back. Concerning all acts of initiative and creation, there is this elementary truth, the ignorance of which kills countless ideas and splendid plans. That the moment one definitely commits oneself, then providence moves too. All sorts of things occur to help one that would never otherwise have occurred. A whole stream of events issues from the decision, raising in one's favor all manner of unforeseen incidents and meetings and material assistance, which no one could have dreamed would have come their way. Whatever you can do or dream you can do, begin it. Begin it. Boldness has genius, power, and magic in it. Begin it now. So maybe you can feel the kind of decisiveness in that commitment to begin and to continue. But as with labor, this process that we willingly engage in, commit to, determine to take on, there's a lot more than our own kind of decision-making involved, right? So it brings a lot of these qualities to bear, but we're committed to a process that's underway. So I know for my long labor, for the first like 30 hours of it or so, there was a lot of patient endurance, right? Of pain, of discomfort, the like willingness to stay with. And at some point, things just stalled out, right? As they sometimes do with practice. You can feel like in the midst of ongoing difficulty and challenge, or even in the midst of kind of pockets of comfort, we can kind of stall out, right? In practice, we can either get too comfortable, or we can get tired, exhausted from the continuous effort. But there was also kind of a casualness by my own design, a casualness to the people around me, right? There are people hanging out, just there's someone having sushi in the other room. There was just a kind of relaxation and ease, which was important and necessary and wonderful. But at some point, in order to move to the next phase, another kind of energy is needed, right? So we transferred to the hospital, and a medical resident took me aside, looked me in the eye, and she said, you have to remember, you are having a baby. Yeah? She said, you have an hour. You have 1 hour. And that was exactly what I needed. it's easy to lose track of the goal, of what we're doing. She said, the baby is right here. Yeah. This is the wonder of resolve. We can kind of lock in and remember, this is what we're doing now. Yeah. This is what we're doing now. All of these kind of extraneous things can fall away, but this is what we're doing now. And the goal is right here. And we don't have forever. So there is some kind of urgency in it. Let me use my resources right now. Okay. So that was exactly what I needed at that time to move to that next phase. And it worked out well. Everyone was healthy and happy. But right at that moment, there was a kind of an engagement of my effort, which was kind of whatever it takes, okay? A complete willingness to, okay, whatever it takes. This might require everything, and it does require everything. And at that point, I like to, it's funny to reflect because the challenge hadn't really even started yet. Yeah, the challenge of parenting. But it is this recognition, this marshaling of our deepest resources and commitment, that this is what we're doing now. This is our deepest potential. This is what we're working towards. And obviously it's not a birth at the end of it, but it's very helpful to have some idea in mind that we refresh or remember. Yeah. It's not just about me sitting here enduring my knee pain. Yeah. Or me just sitting here kind of drifting in and out of boredom. This is what we're doing now. Yeah. So we can recognize that there are times where it's very helpful to have that a firmness that comes about from wisdom, remembering what we're about and why. Yeah. So I'm going to just speak a little bit more about this quality and then give us a few reminders, kind of very direct reminders about how we can work with it in daily life. But the first question with resolve is asking ourselves, what are we most deeply committed to? Yeah. What are we most willing to devote our energies and efforts to? What are we doing here? And it's said that this quality is really based, what allows it to come into being is a kind of wholesome or healthy desire. So chanda. This is not the desire of greed that wants to just pull things into itself, consume things, but that's never really satisfied. It's a desire that kind of rises up to meet the occasion, yeah? That is healthy and wholesome and onward leading. So this is called chanda. So it's not that we need to banish all desire. This is the kind of desire that leads us towards the goal, more deeply towards our direction, towards alignment. So this is important, asking what do we most deeply want? What are we committed to? And this has a way, one teacher puts it this way, of organizing our kind of lesser desires so that we are or maybe more surface desires, so that when we're really in touch with it, it has a kind of way of galvanizing and organizing. So a lot of the kind of less core desires fall away. So an example I often think about with this, I lived in a spiritual community in India for quite some time, and they had tremendous resolve, this community, so this highest aspiration to build a community that was dedicated to human unity and the evolution of consciousness. So one of the highest possible aspirations. So of course it was rife with conflict because the deepest aspiration. And they achieved all of these wonderful aims that they reforested hundreds of acres of desecrated land. They brought people from 40 different cultures, nationalities, languages from all over, and tremendous resolve to try to manifest this vision in reality. And at the center of the community, they built a center, kind of a meditation space that was a place where people could come and remember their deepest aspiration. And it was a beautiful, quiet space. And a lot of effort had been put into every single detail of this space, of this sanctuary. Everything from the floors to the light coming in to the architecture, tremendous resolve to make this happen. And what they found was it was very much on the tourist circuit in India. So what would happen was these big tour buses would come from all over the place, and people would just pile in kind of on the circuit, burst into this meditation space with their cameras and, all sorts of different kinds of energy, and just miss it completely. Yeah, just miss it completely. And so they came up with this system, which I've thought about so often in the intervening years. This was so many years ago. I was a part of this to prevent this kind of scattering of energy, this dispersal, and this maybe less healthy or unwholesome desire, more of this consumer kind of energy. So they would say, okay, if you'd like to come in and see the space, come to this particular booth at 2 o'clock tomorrow. Yeah. And then we'll give you a little ticket. And the ticket will say the time that you need to come back the next time to wait in line for an hour or two in the heat. And then if you make it through that, then you'll get to stand in another line the next day. And then if you make it through that, then you'll get to enter. Right? Then you'll get to enter the speed. So it was like setting up these little speed bumps. Yeah? And it was a way of saying, do you really want this? Yeah. Do you really want this? A way of kind of questioning or going against that kind of consumer energy in which it's so easy for us to just get the photo and we miss the whole thing. So then they found that after those few kind of strategic detours, then when people could enter the space, then they felt like they were entering something really special and important. And they really, really wanted to be there. So I thought about this a lot with ways that we can remind ourselves, what do we really, really want? What are we most deeply committed to? Yeah. And that has tremendous power. Nisargadatta, the Indian sage, said, the problem with you is not desire. It's not that you desire. It's that you desire so little. Yeah. why not desire it all? Why not desire complete freedom, yeah, from suffering? Why not desire it all, complete awakening? So in this way, we can maybe tap into that healthy desire that gives rise to some of our deeper commitments, and we get less diverted by maybe smaller desires, or also smaller complaints and grumbling. Yeah, well, this isn't quite right. I don't know if I can practice here. This environment isn't quite right. This is what we're doing now. Yeah, it's right here, right now. It is imminent, right here, right now. So there's so much to share about this. This speaks a little bit more to surrendering our complaint, and kind of recommitting. And so sometimes we come to this out of getting very frustrated. Yeah. So this is from Bani Mayotai Treese, the Zen teacher. And this is a beautiful way of this description of coming to a sense of recommitting to practice, re-engaging. She says, it's so perpetually tempting to present our objection, our resentment. It takes most of us a very long time to look within genuinely, vigorously. I remember I went through a period at the monastery when it seemed that all I could feel was resentment. I wasn't at peace. I was calmer in many ways, but I didn't feel at peace. Every Dharma talk would get me angry. I could barely stay on my little mat, and everything seemed pretentious and ridiculous. Maybe we should all just go have brunch and not pretend that this practice does something. My attitude was bleak, and I was ready to take apart the training, the teacher, the koans, the patriarchal horror of all major world religions, the fool's game of all spiritual practices. One morning it dawned on me that I was in an intolerable crisis, and I had better engage it in crisis mode. I had to quit silently complaining and do something to take care of it, or else this was how I was going to live and die. All I could muster was sitting meditation, zazen, and I began to sit like I never had before. Because there was nothing else, because there was an intractability to the loneliness that no one could touch, because I knew there was really nowhere else to go that would be better. Practice. Saturday night until midnight, or all night if that's what it took, it began to turn around and the practice became my own. Yeah. So our commitment, maybe at the depth, is really not to get our way. It's not to make something happen. It's not to, again, it's not a commitment to being right or a fixity of view. It's really a commitment to a depth of practice under any circumstances. Yeah. And again, that doesn't need to be a grim, kind of lock-jawed thing. It can be, there can be a wonderful sense of marshaling all of our resources, calling all of our resources forward. Yeah. So this requires deep honesty. The parami right before, it also requires tremendous kindness. Yeah. So this is the commitment that we need to realize our deepest intentions. to recommit to them over and over again, to reestablish ourselves in practice, to jolt us out of a comfort zone, to jolt us out of complaining. This quality of resolve that remembers our aim, but commits completely, not out of aversion, but out of a sense of what's deeply possible, our deepest potential. So we can ask ourselves, what am I committed to? Yeah. What am I deeply committed to? What do I most deeply want? Also, what happens when I'm challenged? Yeah. With resolve, there's the sense that when we're challenged, something in us can rise up to meet that challenge. Yeah. It is not a doubling down, again. It is not a doubling down on our view. So there are definitely times where it is wisest to change course. Yeah. And we need to be able to acknowledge that fully. So Gandhi said something like, I don't know if I can get it exactly right, but in his deep commitment to nonviolence, non-harming, he said, my deepest commitment is to the truth as best I can discern it each day, not to consistency. As best I can discern it each day, not to consistency. So Philip Moffat has a wonderful saying, maybe you might have heard, whatever we're intending, whatever we're most deeply committed to, we can bring it to mind with the understanding that let me realize this, let me commit to this, let me embody this as best I'm able. As best I'm able. So we don't, it is not about force or aversion. We can feel the kindness in that as best I'm able. Okay, so with one of my other sanghas, we are using little practice slogans, short phrases as reminders for the quality or capacity we're involved with. So I'll just offer a few, and you can see maybe which ones resonate, what might be helpful for you to bear in mind. It's not a forced march. It's just something that we can continue to bring to mind as a reminder for what we're involved with, what we're committed to, what our energy can gather behind. Yeah. So one slogan, and this comes from actually a Tibetan teaching, but it's one I've been working with for a few years, is don't get stuck on peace. Don't get stuck on peace. Yeah. So peace is important in our practice. The peace that I think is being pointed to here is kind of a more superficial sort of contentment. And Jane Hirschfield, wonderful quote from one of her poems, talks about this don't get stuck on peace more as kind of a premature contentment. She said, I reject contentment. So we can just try this on, see how it feels. Her poem is called My Contentment. I reject contentment. Into it, certain inexperienced saints have been seen to vanish in a burst of somewhat cloudy light. Yeah. So this is a call just not to get complacent, not to rest in pockets of comfort. Yeah, to use the pockets of comfort or contentment as resources that we can draw upon, but not to get stuck there as a final resting place. So we have to be aware of where we're refreshing, replenishing, but to also have a kind of capacity or to develop a taste for ourselves growing and stretching and kind of rising to the challenge, right? This is an acquired taste for many of us. Yeah, so don't get stuck on peace. These are just ones that have been helpful for me, so you might use your own. Commitment sometimes comes before courage. Yeah. Commitment sometimes comes before courage. If we wait to feel courageous and confident, we might be waiting a really long time. So oftentimes we can commit ourselves by saying, I am going to get up at this time in the morning. Yeah? I am going to put this into action. I am going to remember this. And that kind of commitment comes before we may have even a sense of our own courage or capacity. Yeah, this is again encouraging that sense of rising to meet the challenge rather than kind of shrinking from it. One of the characteristics of resolve is that it is said to develop this kind of unshakable quality in practice. This unshakability is one of its characteristics. And what I've noticed in my practice, even after several decades, is that there's often still a lot of shakiness. So my commitment feels very unshaky, but my lived experience often feels quite shaky. So both of these, I feel like, are not in contradiction. So I like to think of this as unshakable shakiness. So the commitment can be unshakable. This doesn't mean that we don't shake. This is actually the sign of a stretch when we feel a little bit shaky, not quite sure, not quite certain. Resolve doesn't always feel like booming confidence. That probably is more likely some form of arrogance. Yeah, in my experience, it often feels shaky. So to kind of allow a commitment, allow our commitment to be wide enough to encourage the shakiness. Okay, so we can also sense into where it's most helpful for us to refresh our resolve. Is it the resolve to begin? Just to begin? Often my inertia comes most in the very beginning of an endeavor. So this is the beginning to sit. This is the beginning to commit to something that I know is helpful for my own long-term well-being and others. This is maybe some kind of activism for those who are engaged in that way. There's the resolve to begin. There's the resolve to continue. This is where we experience the shakiness, or we experience many of the challenges and kind of strength of our conditioning. And it's the resolve to remember what it is that we're involved with. Yeah. This is what we're doing now. This is what we're doing now. In this, there's a lot in this. There's a sense of not relying on my own individual efforts, but there can be a sense of collective intention or resolve when we're aimed in the same direction. And I mentioned this too when I talked about effort. There can be a very upright, committed sense when we can say, let's do this. Yeah. Let's do this together. So our resolve is not about individual attainment or achievement, but it's like the deep kind of bodhisattva vow, which maybe we'll talk a little bit more about next time. But it's on behalf of myself and all others, may I dedicate myself to practice to the best of my ability. Yeah. For the benefit of myself and others, may I dedicate myself to practice as best I understand it, to the best of my ability. Can you feel the power in that? Yeah. And let's do this together. Yeah. Let's do this together. So why don't we just sit there just for a moment? And as we sit for a moment, a lot of our resolve involves repetition, again, refreshing, recommitting. So I'll just repeat a few of these phrases and you can see which ones are helpful for you, which ones just naturally stick. This is what we're doing now. Resolve to begin. Resolve to continue. When teacher says, aim high. Means remember our deepest desire, what we most deeply want for ourselves, all beings. Yeah. As best I'm able. Don't get stuck on peace or contentment. And unshakable shakiness. Shakable shakiness. And maybe let's do this. Let's do this. Oh, thank you. Thank you all for your attention tonight. Hope some of this has been useful. As always, take what's useful and leave the rest. We'll have more of a chance for discussion next week, but we do have a bit of time now. I'd love to hear a little bit from you. So what resonates, what doesn't, what feels challenging? This can be a very challenging quality to some degree. So I'd love to hear a little bit about what comes up for people around this.
Thank you, Carrie. That was a very moving Dharma talk. My name is Michelle. And one of the in the last part, when you were saying the different things, and the one that resonated most or really just was very moving for me was saying as best as I am able. And I think a lot of that has to do with the judgment of feeling like I'm not doing as much as I should, that I'm not measuring up. And so it is that kindness. I think there's a lot of sadness there when we treat ourselves with that kindness, that we can still bring resolve. And that judgment actually weakens our resolve somehow. So thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Michelle. Yeah. I'm so glad that you mentioned that and were courageous enough to bring that forward, because I know that maybe I used to think it was just a few of us at self-judgment, but I'm pretty, more people I talk to, I think we've all got some version of that. And so this quality can really bring that to the surface, you know, that feeling that we're not doing enough, that we're not measuring up, that we should just be able to kind of buck up and get ourselves together. And why can't I do this? So part of that, like you said, this quality is really flanked by a kind of honesty about where we are that doesn't have anything to do with judgment. It has everything to do with, this is true for me right now. This is what's happening. And the kindness is a real softening attitude towards that. Yeah. And I love what you said, that right at the end, that judgment also weakens it has a way of weakening our resolve. Yeah. When we're stuck in self-recrimination, it actually weakens our resolve, but it also weakens our capacity for kindness and goodwill. Yeah, that feeling of judgment is really calling out for our goodwill, and also a kind of willingness to recommit, again, even in that shakiness, even in that kind of lack of certainty. I don't know what I'm capable of. I don't know what I'm capable of, but let's see. Let's see. Yeah. Let's move forward and see what's possible. So it takes tremendous care and tremendous commitment. Yeah, thank you so much for bringing that. Yeah.
Thank you for that talk, Carrie, and for that comment from, I think, Michelle, her name is. And it sort of coincides with my real appreciation for you sharing, Carrie, about the unshakable shakeability. And that seems sort of a bit similar to Michelle's comment. Because sometimes, a lot of the time, you know, I feel shaky in aspects of practice and in my commitment and my resolve and my time spent and so forth. And there's an unshakable understanding that this is a path to peace and liberation. And, you know, what I put into it is very worthwhile. And I don't have any doubt about the path. And so I really appreciated to me it felt like very vulnerable on your part to share that. Even after decades of practice and being a teacher, that shakiness still arises for you. So thank you.
Clarice, yeah. And I think what changes more than anything is that it's the willingness to bear that. You know, Steve Armstrong spoke a lot about resolve. It's one of the teachers whose voice I really appreciated on resolve, and he said something like, "We'd need not let the aversion to our experience in this moment divert us from a deeper commitment to realizing our aspiration." Right? So that was very, very helpful. And at the same time, I can see so much more firmness in so many more areas than the kind of monumental quaking that I was doing in the beginning. So we can appreciate both. There can be the real recognition and appreciation. There is more firmness. I can experience that. And as long as this shakiness is here, whenever it shows up, I'm still fully committed to practicing with this as best I'm able. Yeah, that's, you know, may we not shove down our vulnerability at any stage on the path, you know, covering that with that kind of righteous bravado. Like, that's where, you know, dictators and autocrats understand resolve very, very well, but not right resolve, not resolve based on discernment and understanding and kindness. Yeah. So firmness is always balanced with the other qualities. Yeah. Okay, see Kathy.
Thanks so much, Carrie. This was a really helpful talk. Just went right into a place where I internalize it. I'm floundering around a little bit. Well, you know, I'm just living a life of, varying degrees of really interested in my practice and, my mind wandering off into TV programs and, you know, things that take me away from, a quieter inner space. But and maybe you could comment on this too. What seemed to me to be especially helpful right now? And I think you just said something about it too, is, surrendering to my complaints. And, you said commit to practice under any conditions.
Yeah, don't surrender to them. Surrender the complaints. Yeah. Don't surrender to them. Yeah. Yeah. But that was a helpful phrase, like a working, I think of these little phrases as practicing our insights, right? Like they need our commitment and repetition. So that sounds like it was a helpful one for you.
Yeah, thanks. Just to follow up a little bit here, surrender my complaint would mean to give up my grumpiness rather than give into it, give it up.
Yeah, you might just try not giving into it.
Mm.
Yeah, not believing it completely. Yeah, I might just try that.
Okay, super helpful. Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. Because I mean, maybe you know, every every one of these parami involves a commitment to practicing, to cultivating, to bearing something in mind, to understanding. And, you know, each one involves a commitment and a letting go.
Yeah.
So they go together. So in that moment of complaint, there's a commitment to a full, like, may I understand this completely. May I see this mind as practice also. Yeah. May I understand. So maybe we'll talk about this more next week, but forming a phrase maybe for yourself, may I. Yeah. Kind of like the metta phrases are like this. May I view this mind as part of my practice? Yeah? Something like that. May I surrender my complaint? May I view this mind? May I remember that this mind is part of my practice? Yeah. When we come upon those, you can kind of feel something in you ignites or responds. Yeah, so you may have to experiment or play a little bit with the wording, but okay. Thank you, everybody. I really appreciate your practice tonight. Appreciate your resolve to be here, to continue, to engage and understand, and I really do feel the power of our shared intention, our shared endeavor. So, okay. Maybe we'll just sit quietly just for a moment. And this kind of dedication at the end of our practice is also a way of kind of strengthening resolve as well. So, and we just hold the intention in mind that the fruits of our practice, whatever they might be, may they not be for ourselves alone. May they benefit us fully, completely, beautifully, but may our practice also be of great benefit to all those we come in contact with. So may each of us and all beings be well. May we be free of confusion and fear. May we take care of ourselves, take care of each other with ease, with kindness. And may we continue to move in the direction of our deepest aspiration, deepest possibility.